Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, Red Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Ducati, and Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Friday morning. I stood out on the deck here at Union Broadcasting wishing I could broadcast outside. Whenever you hear me bitch and moan about the weather in the hot summer months, or when it's snowing or anything else, and you wonder what would make him happy. He just, nothing pleases him. This pleases me. Very much. That's football weather. It's crisp fall weather. I love it. Hoodie weather. Making love weather.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm yes, talking sir. To you.
You're watching on 38 The Spot. I'm talking to you. I'm making a lot of eye contact today.
Piercing.
That's it. I want to get that off my chest. You see that? You like when I do that?
Double finger. Finger pistol.
You better watch what you say.
Shooter.
Shooter.
Did you see who did that last night?
Shooter.
I feel like this is going to make you like this guy. Jake? Nate? Nobody?
Did Max do it again?
Nothing? No one?
Who did it last night?
Here is, I thought it was funny. Did you watch the NFL game last night? Whatever the, if that's what that was called.
When I got home, I watched the fourth quarter.
That game sucked.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Maybe those are two really good. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have an excuse.
Yeah.
Everyone on there, although.
Riddled.
Although, man, how are they going to get by without their big name, big money running backs? I don't see how they do it.
They did it.
Better draft one in the first round. No. Nope. Not today, Satan. Although, that was one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Like, another reason why, you know. Who was that?
Ernest Johnson.
Well, that looked like a drop-off. It's almost like the offensive line and everything else is a bigger reason why run games were successful. The point is...
That sounds like sarcasm.
What do you mean by that? The point! Right. The point is, that was a terrible game to watch, I think. And what you gotta remember is, because we've just been saying one guy. We gotta use both of them. The Denver Broncos thought that they were so good at quarterback that they not only passed on Justin Fields, they passed on Mac Jones too. So we got to start to factor him in. We just talk about Justin Fields, right? Like that was the only guy they could have had. The more and more I watch Mac Jones, am I wrong? I like what I see. I tell you what, I like what I see a lot more than what I see from Teddy Bridgewater, who, let me tell you, and this is coming from just a football observer, not someone that has Cortland Sutton on the competitive Pricks fantasy football team. Teddy Bridgewater refuses to throw the ball downfield. He will not do it. He won't do it. And if he does, it's extremely inaccurate. But I watched that game for an hour. He will look, and I mean, you just see in his body language, he can't wait to check down. He's so excited to check down. He's starting to get the jitters. He gets in there, check down, check down. And probably Vic Fangio's like, yeah, that's right. You check down, you glorious bastard.
Teddy, I can't get enough of the check down.
Teddy, let me tell you, there's always someone open in the flat. Just look for him. Check down. But coach, we can't score. Check down. Don't take a chance. Don't risk it all. I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm glad I'm not. But if I was a Denver fan, I would say, I can't watch this anymore. This is driving me crazy. I can't stand it. Oh, my God. Why won't they? Because Cortland Sutton is good, and he is open a lot. And you can look, you can do a deep dive in the next gen stats and everything else. He's there. Like last week, they missed him twice wide open. It's just like he don't. Teddy's like, hey, man, unless you're like super wide open, I'm not taking the chance here. It's as a football fan, it's frustrating to watch, but as a Chiefs fan, man, does that feel good. Because, as I sent a text message that no one replied to, that's fine.
I read it, though, and I appreciated it.
For what we've had to see over our lifetimes, the OG Chiefs fans, and for us, that for those of us that we had to sit there and watch the Denver Broncos with John Elway, and then the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning, okay? Some franchises never get a quarterback as good as either one of those guys. Some franchises maybe get one in 50 years. It sucked. I mean, like Green Bay is amazing. You know, how do you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers? I mean, good Lord, right? It sucked as a Chiefs fan, didn't it? It just sucked. Yeah. When it was Elway and Manning, and you just knew, well, they got the better quarterback, and this, whatever.
It was the absolute worst.
And you'd search for wins here and there, and you'd get them, and they'd be exciting. But always in the back of your mind, you're like, better. They got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. We don't.
The worst.
Or when we had teams that you felt like, okay, we got such a great defense, we could do it.
No.
You get to the playoffs, and you play one of those quarterbacks, and you lose.
And so... To watch them in football purgatory, to watch them in quarterback purgatory where they just, they don't have a guy, but they think they have a guy. They've tricked themselves, this organization, poorly run by John Elway and Vic Fangio, who I told you was just that just a bad hire. I still can't believe he's the head coach there. That's the worst thing in the world, where you think, you know, I'm going to ignore what's happening around the NFL, and I'm going to show you that you don't need a franchise quarterback. We're going to build up our weapons around the quarterback where it won't matter who the quarterback is. We're going to invest heavily in these wide receivers and tight ends, and we're going to draft five running backs every year, and we're going to show you that with a really good defense and all these good weapons, we can just, Joe Flacco it or Teddy Bridgewater it. They won't even, I can't say they tried to Drew Lockett because he, Lock family, I'm sorry, because Vic Fangio just ain't going to let him get on the field. And you'll never know. Who knows? I think Drew Lock's better than Teddy Bridgewater, but who really knows? Like, I'm watching that game, and they can't do nothing. I think, well, if they don't yank Teddy Bridgewater now, then when are they going to? You know, he'll have to get hurt. And so they're just spinning their wheels. They're in no man's land. They, by a landslide, have the worst quarterback in the division. Right?
Yeah.
Like, can they even compare to Carr?
No, not close.
Not close. And Carr's number three. And Carr's good. I'll give him, Carr's good. But then, how far is the gap between their quarterback situation and Justin Herbert?
Right.
Yeah. And then, how far is it to Mahomes? And you're sitting, and you got no solution. And that's why, guys. But it's great because it happened to Denver. I can't believe. And now we're gonna pin two quarterbacks on them, Justin Fields and Mac Jones, because they could have had either one instead of going with the corner. And I love it because they are damned to be in fourth place, and they deserve it. for all the cheating they did over the years and the manipulating of the salary cap that used to drive us crazy. Not saying they cheated there, but I just hated it every time there was a guy available. Somehow they landed him. And a football franchise should not have John Elway and Peyton Manning and watch both those quarterbacks take him to Super Bowl championships. It pissed me off because I hate the Denver Broncos, and now I really like to tune in to see how bad their offense is. So I go, you don't know what you're doing, do you? So it felt good. But it's bad football. Which is the long way of me saying the guy that did the pop pop, tell me if you like this, guys. On the Thursday night football set, Case Keenum was asked if he'll be ready to go against the Steelers. He looked into the camera and said, "You don't have to get ready if you stay ready." Then he did the finger guns and walked off. What else do you want
from... I have like a new favorite quarterback
what else
that doesn't play for the Chiefs.
Do you want from your backup quarterback?
That's like one of my favorite phrases, too. But the way I was, the way I heard it first was just, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
What else do you want from your quarterback to lead you to a victory when you have a list of 22 players on the injured list? You're clearly without your starting quarterback, your starting running backs, one of your starting wide receivers, one of your starting tackles, everywhere, injuries everywhere. And then after the game, they're asking him, "Hey, are you going to be ready to play the most hated, well, it might be the Ravens, but one of your most hated rivals, the Pittsburgh Steelers?" He just looks in the camera. "You don't have to get ready if you stay ready." Pop, pop. And then finger guns. If I'm a Cleveland fan, right, I cry. Tears streaming down my face. That's my quarterback. And who knows? Baker Mayfield's got some real issues. It might be Case Keenum for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's a torn labrum, right?
And if he's just going to, and they say there's a fracture in there, too.
Yeah, right? He came out yesterday. He said, "Fracture."
Yeah.
Whoops. I don't know why he said.
You know, I just feel like that's a move that a backup quarterback needs to have in his arsenal, the finger guns, right? You want to get the fan base behind you? Talk about you're ready for the Steelers and just walk up. You know?
That's awesome.
Right?
That's just fantastic.
Hey, we're in Kansas City. We're talking like, yeah, like, you know. And guess what? He was all right. He did pretty good. I heard a lot about this.
I love that phrase, too. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
I also heard a lot about that Denver defense.
Well.
That couldn't stop the 19th string running back last night.
That guy was on, they signed him off the street.
How about the end of the game when Cleveland said, "Here's the deal. You're within 3 points now. We're just going to run the ball over and over and over and over and over again. There'll be no creativity to it. We're just going to run the ball continuously to try to get out of here with a win. You have a really, really good defense, Denver, supposedly. Can you stop it?" And Denver's like, "Nope. No, I cannot." Even at that last play where he got the first down and then there's a penalty they called him back. They go, "Okay, hey, the game's out. There's one more chance here. 3rd and 7. We all know they're going to run the ball. Denver had to be ready for this." And 9-yard gain. They're not. It was glorious. So there you go.
The guy was in the AAF.
He wrote letters begging to get in that league.
That incredible.
He's awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I'm
absolutely.
For that guy.
Well, you rooted for him last night, and
yeah.
The Browns beat the Broncos 17-14.
It just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over
right.
And over and over and
that's
over
right.
And over 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 again.
Isn't that what we saw last night? Did you watch that final drive?
He ran through an MF'er's face. That's
over and 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 over.
And by the way, if you've been sold that bill of goods about Denver, that's where they're supposed to. That's where that
yeah the defense
is supposed
to get the ball back for the offense. There.
Okay, finally the offense woke up. Let's
right,
get
that's why we invest so heavily in the defense.
Right.
We got a defensive coach,
first round draft picks.
And then so you get in a defensive struggle with a team that's ravaged by injury, and then you still get worked like that. Like, well, then what do you want?
Second string quarterback, third string running back.
D'Ernest Johnson had 146 yards.
Yes, sir.
146 yards on the ground. So
hope you picked him up.
Cleveland ran 33 times for 182 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. So, hey, let me tell you. Yeah. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm sorry I went on a bit of a rant in that first segment, but I had time today. I was feeling it. Who do you think will end up having the better career and that will make Denver fans angrier and sadder?
Paxton Lynch?
Justin Fields or Mac Jones, the two quarterbacks they passed on? Which quarterback will fill them with regret more?
Gosh, man.
Because you do have to factor in the organization.
Oh, that's a huge part of it.
But still, I've watched both of them, and I've seen enough just like, Denver. Oh, no.
I guess I'd say Mac Jones.
You know what answer I want? I want both.
Both?
I want both to look really, really good. You know? What do you say, Nate?
I mean, I guess I feel better about Mac Jones being in the situation he's in New England than I do Justin Fields in Chicago. But I don't know, man. I think I'm going to go Justin Fields. He can just do more. You know, if he can figure out, you know, physically he can do more. And I realize that's only part of the job in the NFL. I mean, like Tom Brady shows, you don't have to be a quarterback that can run to still be dominant. But most of the guys that are coming out now that are becoming great quarterbacks seem like they can do everything, right? They can run a little bit. They can throw.
They can do it all.
Yeah, so I'll go with the guy that can do it all.
I feel like New England's bringing Mac Jones along properly. Like, I feel like that's going to help him develop into a better quarterback in the long run.
I feel like
I think that's a fair.
I've brought you along properly.
You have.
I mean, I don't know. You
look
can
at me now.
Answer that question. I said I feel like
I'm still here, aren't I?
I didn't say for sure.
I've outlasted a lot of people.
That's true.
Haven't you?
I mean,
when we look at longevity, you win. I mean, there's something to be said. There's a lot to be said for that. Nobody.
Staying power.
No one.
Who would have thought? Nobody.
No one.
No one that I know. Me.
No one.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that. There's something else that I wanted to talk about because it gives me the opportunity to talk about how great one of my childhood heroes was. And you guys could probably guess what I'm going to talk about. Last night, the Dodgers fight back and win Game 5, 11-2, behind the bat of Chris Taylor. And you know I love Chris Taylor. I've talked about Chris Taylor. When Alberto Mondesi grows up, I want him to be Chris Taylor. You know? Glad you like that. Open the mic. I want to hear laughter. That's when it's Friday. Come on, let's end it right.
And grows up.
Right. And Chris Taylor helped lead the Bada Bings to an NL Roto Championship. And I'm putting respect. Him, just because I put him, he was a maybe on my freeze list after last night. He's on.
Respect.
He's on. He's had a walk-off. He hits three home runs last night.
Three
home runs in a Major League Baseball postseason game.
In the league championship.
And you wonder, and if you already know, don't say it. But if you don't know, give me a guess. Do you know how many players have hit three home runs in a playoff game in Major League Baseball history?
I don't know for a fact, but I know one person that has.
Right. Okay. We'll get to that. But how many players?
Here's what I know. I think I know. Here's what I
here's
think
what
I know.
You sound like Peter King right now.
I think I read
Monday
last
morning
night that this doesn't answer your question, so don't get mad at me for this.
I will get mad at you.
I didn't read anything.
I believe he's the first person ever to hit three home runs, including,
facing elimination?
Facing elimination.
That's not
like
the question I asked, though.
That means that somebody else has hit three home runs.
How many players in Major League Baseball
history
would you
say? I don't know. I'm
going to
guess three or four.
No, you're way off.
I'm going to guess one.
One other one?
Mm-mm.
too.
The way you preface this whole thing makes me think it was George Brett.
There's more. There's a few of them. Okay. All right. I will read to you from this article at MLB.com. There are a few more thrilling individual accomplishments in the postseason than hitting three home runs in a single game. There have been many October heroes throughout baseball history, but the three-homer group consists of a select few. Just 11 players in Major League Baseball history have gone deep three times in a single playoff game. Here's a look at each.
Can I guess? Chris Taylor?
Well, if you didn't guess Chris Taylor, then
no,
what the hell's wrong with you? Chris Taylor, guess another one.
Did Manny do it?
No.
Did Carlos Beltran do it?
No.
Because I remember that one postseason he hit a bunch of
Bernie Williams.
No.
Okay. I'm done guessing.
There was a guy. There is a guy that's done it that was actually in that game last night. Two of them.
What?
Oddly enough.
Mookie?
You told me to run through it?
Yeah, run through it.
Kike Hernandez did it for the Dodgers. Well, he's in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he did it in 2017 in Game 5 of the NLCS against the Cubs. Jose Altuve did it in Game 1 of the 2017 American League Division Series against the Red Sox.
Was that the game that he was wired up?
I don't know about that. Pablo Sandoval did it in the World Series, Game 1 of the World Series against the Tigers in 2012.
Kung Fu Panda.
Albert Pujols did it in Game 3 of the 2011 World Series against the Rangers. So I'm going, that's in chronological order. That's we're going back, right? Adrian Beltre did it for the Rangers, Game 4 of the 2011 ALDS against the Rays. Adam Kennedy in the 2002 ALCS against the Twins, Game 5. George Brett, Game 3 of the 1978 ALCS against the Yankees. Then before that, Reggie Jackson in the 77 World Series, you remember that. Bob Robertson for the Pirates did it in Game 2 of the 71 NLCS. And Babe Ruth did it twice. Babe Ruth did it in Game 4 of the 1928 World Series against the Cardinals and Game 4 of the 1926 World Series against the Cardinals. So Babe Ruth said, St. Louis, let me do it twice to you. Here's what...
That is really silly.
Here's what it says about Brett. Brett had a huge series in what would ultimately be a four-game loss. The ALCS, of course, is the best-of-five series then to the Yankees. But even though the Royals lost Game 3, it will be remembered for Brett's incredible power display. The Hall of Famer belted three solo home runs off Yanks starter Catfish Hunter. He did it off a Hall of Famer. That's all. This is a Hall of Fame on Hall of Fame crime. He hit three home runs off Catfish Hunter. In the first to right field, in the third to center field, in to right field in the fifth. And he hit 389 in the series, but the Royals lost, and that was right in the midst of the Royals losing three consecutive ALCS to the Yankees in 76, 77, and 78. So, yes, there's even a video of it that I watched that's glorious. George Brett, one of the 11 players to hit three home runs in a postseason game.
Incredible.
I mean, just George. It's George Brett.
George Brett.
And I know youngsters just hear George Brett. They go, what did he do? Well, there's another one, and another one, and another one.
You I mean, like the, that? Only, the only pro what? Sport athlete in this town who has ever sniffed George Brett's status is Patrick Mahomes.
He's got to have a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to stay here forever. Forever.
That was a little scary. That was a little, what was that Stephen King movie where the guy gets, the author gets stuck in
The Shining?
Misery.
Misery.
That was a little misery-ish there. Patrick, you will stay forever.
And just let me tell you, because George Brett did play in quite a few postseason games. Jake, he played in 43 postseason games. That's a lot. That's a good sample size, isn't it? All right. He had 184 plate appearances, 166 at bats. He had 8 doubles, 5 triples, 10 homers, 23 ribbies, Would you like to know his slash line in the postseason for his career?
Yep.
Because there's no such thing as clutch, remember?
Right.
What was his slash line? Okay, what was his OPS? In 43 career postseason games, what was OPS?
I feel like it was probably in the 900s.
And that's real good.
Real good. I was going to say 950.
That's real good.
Yeah.
That's real, but 1,023 is better.
Wow.
Because that's what it was.
Ah.
That's phenomenal.
George Brett's slash line in a total of 9 series, 43 games in the postseason, 337, 397, 627. Also, 17 walks and 20 strikeouts. So it's pretty much. And 10 homers in 43 games. That's a lot, too, you know.
I feel like he hit another big home run off a Hall of Famer.
There's all kinds of them, you know?
Some guys get all their, rack up all their stats going against the bad pitchers, you know?
Look here. It's just, as soon as I saw Chris Taylor hit 3 home runs last night, I go, oh, that gives me a chance to do a whole segment on George Brett in the postseason. Just to spread the knowledge to those that may not have lived through it or don't remember it. Or if you were, there's things that happened in the ALCS that Jake doesn't remember and he was there. Maybe you were having at it in the 70s, you know? And like, I kind of remember 76, but 77's a blur. There, that happened. Maybe there's a guy like, huh, all right then. I knew it was good, but just don't remember all of it. But right, that's I just feel like I take that opportunity. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, I was only 2 years old at that time, so I don't remember that postseason.
But don't you like it? Don't you like to hear it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just like the fact that there's some old dads right now. That's right. You tell them.
Steve Buchanan is nodding approvingly right now.
I've become that
That's
old,
right, Steven.
Old angry dad. You know, when someone asked me, or one of the girls asked me, who's the best role? Let me tell you, come here, just George Brett. And then they just want to leave the room
immediately. I think my dad genuinely believes that George Brett never made an out. I think if George Brett ever stepped up to the plate with a runner at third base, that runner, you know, less than 2 outs, he got at least a sacrifice fly every time.
I don't
think he ever stranded a runner at third.
Thousands of George Brett games, and I do not remember him ever making an out. Now, you can challenge me on that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't recall him ever making an out. We'll be back after this on WHB.
Outfield deep at every position now with George Brett at the plate. Set by Gossage. High drive and deep to left field. It is gone. 3-run home run by George Brett into the third tier of Yankee Stadium. And Brett.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There. Two things I really wanted to talk about. I got off my chest, and now we can move on and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. I was forced into making a prediction on for the segment that's tweeted out from Sports Radio 810. Didn't appreciate that being basically tricked into doing that. They asked me to come down there to record a spot, and I was like, hey, we need you to do this. You're like, what? Who? What happened? Now, we have a commanding lead over the other shows.
Yeah, we do.
Not shockingly.
Solid week for me last week.
Hey, what happened?
With the score being closest, nailing the prop bet of Daniel Sorensen playing less than 90% of the snaps.
So I wasn't ready. So I had not put any thought into this. And so they,
what did Case Keenum say?
You know, right.
You stay ready. Guns. You stay ready.
And so they pulled me in there real quick. And so I went with my gut. And I said, Chiefs 38, Titans 30.
I like it.
And then I remember the prop bet I gave you guys with our Mike's Got This segment. And I just said, Derrick Henry's averaging 130.5 yards per game. The Chiefs are going to win, but I'll go the over with Derrick Henry and his yards. So, and I want, trust me, I wanted to go the under, but I just, it just doesn't, you know, I need to see more from this defense before I'm prepared to say they'll hold him to under 130.
So Nate's the only one that went under.
Nate said under, and you said over,
and Mike said over.
And I'll be, and I think it's going to be right around there.
Yeah, that's a hard prop bet.
But he could also just run wild. You know, I don't think they're going to completely shut him down. I don't think that's in the cards. But I mean, if they held him to under 100 yards, I mean, we'd all be very happy with that, I think. But I do think there's a formula that has him going over 130 yards and she's still winning. It's going to be a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be a shootout.
I think the situation that you laid out, that the possibility, the thing that I think that would keep him under 130 is that the Chiefs go up big. They go up by like 14 or 17 points.
But if it's 14, I still think that won't get them away. It has to be a massive lead for them to get away. Because
he can bust one at any point
right.
in time.
I mean, that's really almost your best chance for a big play. You know, and he's fantastic. And yeah, I did want to go into a rant about running backs after watching that last night. But he is one of the guys. I mean, like, I'd spend a first-round pick on him.
okay.
All the time.
All right, then we're being reasonable. That's fair. I'll go with you on that. Yeah. Like, 99% of the time, maybe 95% of the time, you shouldn't take a running back in the first round.
He's got to be special.
Yeah, he does. He's got to be special, and it's got to be the right circumstances.
Right.
But that wouldn't be like, I don't think anybody, if you took him in the first round, you'd be like, what the hell were they thinking?
No, and I take Christian McCaffrey. You know, but even like the great 1-2 punch in Cleveland,
right?
Of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, where did they go?
Right.
Nick Chubb was in the second round. Kareem Hunt was in the third round. I mean, we talk about the best running backs we've seen in Chiefs history. What was Jamal Charles? Third.
Yep.
What was Priest Holmes? Undrafted free agent. McCoy wasn't even Christian McCoy was second round. I mean, I saw that and it's like. Man, he looks really good. I mean, he looks like, he looked like Nick Chubb. Looked like Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, maybe that's because he was playing the Broncos, though. Right. We'll find out.
Right. This Broncos looks to have a good defense. Yeah. I don't know what I've been told, but maybe my eyesight's poor, but it didn't seem like they were stopping the run over there at you. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just to finish up on that thought, Nate, I said I would spend a first-round pick on Derrick Henry, but then again, I wouldn't have to because he got drafted in the second round. So,
fair enough.
he went number 45.
Yeah.
I would point out that the best wide receiver and the best tight end in the NFL went in what rounds?
It depends on anything the best wide receiver.
Right. Tyreek Hill. Hands down.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Devontae Adams might have something to say about that.
Tyreek Hill. All day, every day.
Tell you what, for now, but I don't know how long it's going to be, but Ja'Marr Chase is going to be that.
Oh, he good. He's a first-rounder. DK Metcalf wasn't a first-rounder either, though, was he?
Hopkins. DK Metcalf's not even.
But I think the evidence, I mean, if we want to sit here and pick names, will weigh heavily in my favor about running backs in the first round.
And wide receivers in the first round.
Hey. I agree that in general you don't need to take a running back in the first round. I just feel I'm in general against hard fast rules that completely rule everything out. You know, every once in a while there might be an exception to the rule. That's all.
Sure, but there are like far more running backs, or far more receivers and quarterbacks and
sure.
guys like that that
tackle.
You know, it's just there's just too much evidence around the NFL right now. I mean, last night was another perfect example. You know?
I hear you.
I mean, again, it's not a shot at Clyde. I just asked this question to several people after the game on Monday. I mean, was there a point in the game where you're thinking, man, they needed Clyde right there?
I would say no to that. I would point out, I just looked at it because you asked that question. He's averaging well over a yard more per carry than Darrell Williams.
And what's that doing for the team?
You don't think that helps to average more than a yard per carry?
I don't think it helped on Sunday.
Well, they played Washington. Washington sucks. I mean, I think in general, it. I mean, I would rather have a running back that averages more than a yard per carry than the one that averages less.
I wouldn't, right? If you're talking about short yardage guy. Like Williams, if he picks up, the yards are like.
He had a couple of nice plays in the passing game, too.
Like, it's all.
That's by far been my biggest disappointment with Edwards-Helaire. Look, I would sit here and tell you.
Average.
I don't think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has proven to be worth the pick at this point. Like, I would agree with you, that's the point. That.
And you have to remember, we're arguing about an undrafted free agent versus a first round pick.
Yep.
And there should be zero conversation about that. Right? There should be no question.
And I think it doesn't help that this defense sucks and could use so much more help on this defense.
There's other places they could have addressed.
For sure. I don't disagree with that. But I thought that was interesting. Edwards-Helaire is averaging 4.7 yards a carry this year, you know?
Right.
But he's hurt.
Couple turnovers, too.
And he's hurt. And he's gotten hurt twice already in his career. That factors in as well.
Man, he missed a playoff game. He was hurt in the postseason. So, but hopefully the Chiefs will continue to show that Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon can get it done. And let's be honest, they're better in pass pro as well. And that's part of it that we don't want to talk about because there's not a stat for it. But when you're talking about what's best for Patrick Mahomes on third down, Darrell Williams is out there. Or Jerick McKinnon. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. I think the show is going to continue on Sports Radio 810 WHB.